Right, great. Welcome to yet another edition of the Citizen Talk with myself, Stephen Tau. Today we'll be joined by the ANC spokesperson, Pule Mabi, to talk everything about the ANC, ranging from, the challenges that they are faced with as a party, as well as the renewal project, how that is going, how are they trying to keep the party united.
And morning, or good day and good day to those who are listening.
Yeah. No, thank you so much, Pule. Pule, we really wanted to chat to you about a whole lot of issues, affecting the ANC. Perhaps let's start with the challenges. There has been talks that the ANC is likely even, to lose power come 2024 as a result of the numerous challenges that the party is facing. First and foremost, tell us or describe to us what's the state of the African National Congress.
Well, Stephen, thanks for inviting us once more. As you know, in the recent weeks, the life of the African National Congress has in the main been characterized by us hosting provincial conferences throughout the different provinces. As a consequence of that, already 7 of our provinces have already hosted their provincial conferences, electing a leadership that is supposed to carry forward the program of organization. We've also hosted the National Policy Conference here in Gauteng in Nazareth, where members expressed themselves on what ought to be the immediate tasks of the leadership, making policy recommendations to the 55th National Conference of the ANC, expected to sit in the next 3 months. Actually, on the 7th of September, this Wednesday, we are formally or officially opening for the nomination processes to allow branches to now convene their branch general meetings to be able to decide who they want to see being elected in the leadership of the ANC National Executive Committee. So there's been quite a lot of work. What does that work do to the life of the ANC? It is necessary to drive the renewal trajectory of the African National Congress, of which we so much seek. The ANC can only renew itself when it consistently engages with its own members, refine its own policy positions, understand where it is located as it relates to the geopolitical space, problems in our own country, challenges of our people. This past weekend, the president of the ANC, President Cyril Ramaphosa, was out in Delmas in that capacity as president of the African National Congress on the Letsema campaign, to do two things, remind our members and structures of the ANC on the role that they ought to be playing in communities as it relates to dealing with challenges that face our people on the ground, participating actively in finding solutions on those, but also being part of greater campaigns that deal with social inclusion, so that amongst others you break the barriers of gender-based violence, the participation of our people in local economies, dealing with the ailing local infrastructure by making sure that it is members of the ANC who actually collate information about issues that the ANC-led government in their own area, so any other party that leads at that level, should be able to attend to, whether they need to be establishing community policy forums, whether you need to actually mobilize people to participate in your IDP sessions. You raised a critical question. The ANC losing power. We need to correct that and say even the Ipsos polling, it still reflected the ANC as a majority party, albeit at a reduced percentage. So I have listened to many analysts speak, and I think they have assisted one opposition party called the DA to best understand that they did not win the governance of these metros. Mm. They were aided by other parties in a notion called coalition.
Yeah.
If we were to talk majority, the ANC still enjoys the confidence of the people of South Africa. But the ANC must not take that confidence for granted. The ANC must say, what are the things that we need to correct which undermine the confidence of our people in us, which have also contributed towards the reduction of our own majority?
And what would you say? I'm sorry to cut you there, but what would you say were some of the contributing factors to, you know, the decline in the support base of the ANC?
That's why I'm saying, as a self-respecting organization, when we self-correct or self-reflect, we also have got to then say, what are the researchers saying? They point to corruption, the rising food prices. You know, when you're in government, you get to be blamed for everything. Fighting crime, which actually goes with corruption, the restoration and return of credibility of the leadership of the African National Congress, making sure that in the leadership structures of the ANC, you install men and women who could be able to enjoy the trust of the people on the ground. So it's a multiplicity of issues. But also, we cannot divorce the decline from voter apathy. Our people understanding their contribution to what's the sustenance of the democratic project. We need our people to know, you know, the interns you bring here in the citizen, the young ones, they need to understand the role that they must play towards consolidating the democratic project. Because if our people do not go, even if the ANC wins, you get 11 million votes in a country that has got over 50 million people. And you look at how many people voted, they are less than 20 million. It means that the majority of citizens of this country who are of a voting age did not go out to the polls. Political parties combined have got the duty to play, to mobilize the rest of society to go and vote, so that those that ultimately win the seat of power enjoy the overall confidence of citizens. Citizens can do a lot of things with their vote. They can decide where they want to live through their votes.
Don't you think also one of the reasons why, you know, many people have, you know, decided to stay away from the polls is because, you know, for lack of a better word, they just heartfall with everything not working out in the country. And obviously not only blaming the ANC, but it appears also as if they don't have any other alternative.
I don't think that it's really about people being, to use your word, being heartfall. There are a number of contributing factors. I grew up in a township. I matriculated in a village just outside the township where I was born and bred, in Phalaborwa.
Yeah.
So I went to a high school in a village called Makushane out in Limpopo. I was president of the SRC there. And part of what I experienced there is that when people feel that they are not part of the movement not being the ANC as such, but they are not part of the development, they do not see the need why they must participate in the democratic project of voting. I'm mentioning this village because as we're growing up, as people were beginning to vote in 1994 and going into all the other subsequent elections, our people began seeing homes, randavels in villages being electrified. They began to see their own roads being regraveled, themselves beginning to receive grants on agriculture. You know, there was a grant called Tlhokomelo ya Dikgomo, Kaonafatso ya Dikgomo, to be able to look after their own livestock, getting implements. This gave them hope. This gave them hope. You would see them glad in ANC t-shirts, because this ANC, at the peak of things, was now beginning to respond to their own things. This is just at the years, moving out of in the late 90s, going into 1999, 1994, getting the ANC to even garner two-third majority. Because the semblance of hope was one that our people could be able to feel and touch. This pushed them forward. But along the way, as our democracy matured, as our people started understanding that they too have got a voice, as our democratic institutions got entrenched, something called opportunity came into the space. The problem of opportunity is that it does two things, depending on the resilience of those that are presiding over opportunity and its distribution. It has got the possibility and propensity to produce opportunists. We're no longer selfless, we are selfish. Who look at this opportunity to be about them. Michelle Arong writes in a book, it's I Tend to It, reflecting on the problems of Kenya and what we ultimately saw happen. I mean, Kenya is emerging from that kind of a situation where during the era, was it Arab Moi and them, where when comrades came in, now saw an opportunity to use the levers of power to reward themselves and forget that the tentacles of the revolution were driven by the people on the ground. So that is where the challenge emerged. Because as soon as we got exposed to opportunity, which is now a construct of our own policies as the democratic movement, as the progressive organization in this country, we were supposed to be the ones that distribute opportunity en masse to change the living conditions of our people. Now, what do I mean by opportunity? These are businesses. These are jobs. These are grants being made or being made available to provide for social relief. Now, those that began seeing this to be about themselves, even when it was a consequence of policies of the organization, began bringing in erosion of that culture of selflessness, of discipline, of commitment, of dedication, of the promise we made to the people who elected us into power. And this created its own problems.
And I suppose
So this now goes to your question, the heart of what led to the decline.
Yeah.
So it's a human factor. But okay, perhaps you wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, does it also mean that, I mean, some in the ANC, you know, in terms of leaders, have really lost touch, you know, with the ordinary man on the street?
Well, I wouldn't really talk about losing touch. The fact that we're in Delmas, we're making touch. We're in Delmas, you know, to keep in touch with our people.
Yeah.
The fact that all of our programs, all of the programs of the ANC, post and during elections, point to an organization that appreciates engagements with the people. That alone is a demonstration that we fully understand that unless we keep full contact with our people, unless we make the programs we develop appeal to those that we lead, we will lose our relevance as an organization. Of course, the ANC has to modernize. It has got to change how it does things. Because part of earlier on we spoke about Ipathi. We spoke about instances of corruption, sometimes driven by greed and selfishness, return to credibility. You know, so modernization is also another issue that can contribute to your own decline. The ANC is turning 111 years in the next 4 months. Now, we are the oldest liberation party in Africa. We ought to modernize.
And talking about modernization modernizing the party, does that then mean that when it comes to, you know, electing new leadership, do we now need more younger people to sort of take over?
Well, I don't think that modernizing means bringing more younger people to take over. I think the right conceptualization of the ANC around the bringing in of younger leaders best expresses itself as something referred to as generational mix.
Mm.
The leadership of the ANC must always bring together different generation. There's got to be generational integration. The younger ones learning from those that have been in the party the ones that are actually growing to understand the culture and values of the party. The reason why when elders in villages pass on, always call around the younger ones, is to make sure that culture is not lost in the cracks.
So it's more about succession planning.
It's more about succession planning. You know, in our own culture as Mapedi people, we've got something called koma. We have kept the tradition of koma over time, because this is where we learn our own cultural rites, you know, how to do our own praises, how we should be able to negotiate lobola, how we should welcome people in our homes as young men, you know. So it is not about the circumcision part. There's a larger part that has got to do with the cultural orientation. So koma has been kept to be able to be that which embraces culture, our own origins. So keeping elderly leaders in the leadership of the ANC, or having something referred to as generational integration, is part of making sure that an organization that is as old as the ANC does not lose its value system. But it must not lose those value system within changing conditions of modernization. Modernization for the ANC would mean how you recruit your members. The ANC has now changed. We have digitized our membership system. It's no longer people going to a branch of the ANC carrying books with stacks of forms and then taking the number that is up there on the form to be your membership number.
Yeah.
We're closing for the payment of membership over this past weekend. Our people, our comrades would go to branches of the ANC where they live and deposit monies for membership. That's how the ANC has modernized. We now know just at the click of a button whether our membership is in good standing or not. The organization has modernized in that way.
And talking about,
but the organization doesn't have to only, sorry about this, we don't have to only modernize like this. The organization had Radio Freedom back when it was back in exile.
Yeah.
But today it understands that if it wants to resuscitate Radio Freedom, it will have to operate the same way that Citizen Podcast operates. It will have to be an internet radio.
Yeah.
You know, it will have to now move to TikTok. Then she has to now understand that it can no longer just issue its statement written by Pule Mavi, just as long statements. Your young intern needs a statement that comes in as TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, they listen quickly, and then you decide whether you're going to run this as a TikTok or you will run it in your print version. You and I might be coming from the print generation.
Yeah, the old school
tradition of journalism. Journalism itself has evolved. Today, you sometimes rely on Twitter to make up your stories.
Yeah.
I mean, half the time when I read stories, whether it's okay, the other digital platforms, I wouldn't speak about them because I would be promoting them on your platform. But when you read them, you find that right in the middle of their stories, they will be quoting a Twitter feed from someone. Now, this begins to, even all other publications do it. You know, social media has become the main source of news. Actually, you guys in the media today, you really rely on leaks. Because those that enjoy leaking, if what they leak doesn't get to be written about, they write about it on Twitter. They leak it themselves. So social media is provided. I mean, I've seen it been done by some of our irresponsible cadres. They leak information. We go to the NEC because sometimes our meetings are held virtually. They deposit what has been said in the NEC to yourselves. In the media.
And talking about those irresponsible, leaders in the ANC, what's being done to deal with such behavior?
Only if, Stephen, you could tell us who leaked information to you, then we will know who we must discipline. So now we're dealing with faceless people. We don't know them because I agree you guys in the media are really guided by the confidentiality of protecting your sources. You know, so we've got, so if you want us to do something, please break the discipline. And give us the names.
Yeah, and talking about that, I mean, we've also now recently heard some NEC member in the ANC saying that no, he doesn't believe that the current president Cyril Ramaphosa should, you know, remain as party leader. What do you make of such NEC members, you know, speaking out? And obviously, like you said earlier on, the nomination, you know, process hasn't, you know, been officially opened yet. It's only being opened on Wednesday. But already we're hearing some, you know, senior ANC members already giving us their preferred people.
Well, it's rather unfortunate. Safe to say that we are now opening for nominations. Anyone in the ANC, you see, Stephen, myself, President Ramaphosa, and the rest of the 86 of us, or 85, in the absence of the DSG and if I forgot others who might have passed on in our NEC, and may their soul rest in peace. We are elected to serve one term. Our term ends on the 17th of December. On the 16th of December, we open conference. On the 17th of December, they will announce who have made it to the ballot. At that point, we will cease to be National Executive Committee members. We will only be there as caretakers because we can't allow conference to collapse. At the end of that conference, a newly elected leadership of the ANC emerges. It might or it might not include some of us. But those that it will include will be constituting the leadership of the African National Congress. That's how it must be understood. Mm. So we are a democratic organization. And in our expression of our different democratic wishes as members, we will determine and decide who we want to lead. If members come back and say, for the 55th National Conference, we want President Ramaphosa to be elected as president. It is not a re-election. He is elected to lead the 55th National Conference collective, NEC collective. Uh-huh. Because it is the same position, uh-huh, in the media will then say, really? It's a second term. Understand?
Yeah.
But the constitution of this ANC does not impose or define something called second term. Uh-huh.
Okay, and talking about the president of the ANC, he's been under quite a lot of pressure in recent times. I mean, primarily as a result of the Palapala, you know, farm scandal and so forth. How is he really coping?
Well, without really behaving like I diagnose people, safe to say that over the weekend he was jovial himself. Spoke truth to members of the ANC, even going on to say that he is not indispensable. You see, the one feature or characteristic that has come to define President Cyril Ramaphosa's leadership and himself as an individual leader is his ability to take people along. The fact that he has also not been afraid to speak openly about the Palapala issue.
But last week during that parliament proceedings, he appeared not to really, really want to, you know, say anything much around the issue, despite being, you know, pressured by opposition parties. Your take on that?
Well, it could be. I've already done an interview on this. You might have seen. Beside him not saying much, you see, when an issue is under investigation and there are issues that you are already sharing with law enforcement officers for the purpose of the work that they are doing, it is really not necessary to over-repeat yourself on such, so that you know that, one, you are protecting the information you are giving to law enforcement officers, the credibility of that information. It's very important. But what would be or a semblance of transparency is forging consensus, the agreement to appear before Parliament as a public representative, as a leader of South Africa's people. Allow yourself to be held accountable. mentioned to the people of this country on that platform that when all of the processes of the investigations are being concluded, you will be able to then make your voice heard more fully by everyone who takes interest.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, the case we're talking about here is not a case of the president going and stealing. It's burglary being committed
at his farm.
So I think once we've understood more fully the facts, then we will accord the president, as a law-abiding citizen, by the way, the opportunity to be able to speak. We must say, as we have said before, that, of course, it has a bearing on the ANC brand. It continues to contribute towards the battering of the brand. So the sooner it is dealt with, the better it is for the organization.
And talking about the sooner, you know, the matter is being resolved or dealt with, the better for the ANC. Your SG remains suspended. Many people are asking, why is the suspension taking so long? Is it as a result of the court cases that is, appearing in?
Well, Steve, those who are asking, and I don't know why you say many, because, because if people understand the policy of the ANC or our own directives on stepping aside, then they will know why. You know, the step aside rule says when you are inducted to appear in a court of law facing serious charges, you will step aside. If you do not step aside, then we then impose on you Rule 25.72 of the ANC Constitution, which effectively empowers us, the National Executive Committee, to impose a temporary suspension.
And
so the SG has stepped aside, remains temporarily suspended. His position of Secretary General is not vacant. The only vacant position in the ANC is that of Deputy Secretary General. So it must be understood like that. He is in that situation because of conditionalities created by the step-aside rule. It must be understood like that. Yes.
And again, just for the benefit of our listeners, does this then mean can he, the suspended SG Ismahashule, can he also allow or accept nomination for the upcoming elective conference?
Well, the guidelines for the 55th National Conference, as outlined by Comrade Khalima Mutlante as the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, is such that when you have stepped aside, you will not accept a position of leadership. Or you can't even, because remember, there is a whole lot of things that goes with being nominated. You have to be vetted and all of that.
Yeah.
So all of those things are going to be undertaken.
Uh-huh. And talking about the conference as well, I mean, preparations so far, how's everything going? Do we have a fixed date already as to when is it going to take place, venue-wise and so forth, all those logistics?
Well, Steve, if there is one conference you will not be able to postpone, is the National Conference of the ANC throughout the years.
Mm.
We start our conference on the 16th of December,
mm-hmm.
on the very day that we commemorate Mkhonto we Sizwe. So we will start on the 16th of December. We'll go on until around the 20th, 21st
mm-hmm.
of December.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier
on, so process of conference are on.
Yeah.
Just made a point now that on Saturday we're closing for membership renewal,
mm-hmm.
and on the 7th, which is now a day to go on Wednesday, we open formally and officially for the nominations to start.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've also been listening to the former President Thabo Mbeki in recent times, especially at the memorial service of the late DSG, where he actually warned of our own South African version of the Arab Spring as a result of people just not being happy anymore. What's your view on that? Is the ANC heeding his warnings calls?
Well, we pay attention to every statement that past and present leaders of the ANC make.
Mm.
We do that all the time because we enrich our method of work by paying attention.
Mm.
We know that the problems of this country are much bigger. You know, the post-COVID-19 economy has been one difficult terrain to enter. People are without jobs. Many hospitality establishments have closed. Small companies that couldn't really rise beyond COVID have had to also fold, retrenching people and all of that. These people are now at home. What do they do? They then all of them start generating destructive conversations, understandably so, because of their own conditions. They start to be part of the protest movement. They complain and all of that. So the socio-economic conditions of our people are such that if something extraordinary does not come to our aid, we'll face untenable problems.
And do you still believe that the ANC is the only movement that can, you know, fix that?
Well, of course, its policies are sufficient to fix that. But this is not necessarily the only movement to fix that. We need all political parties to work together for the benefit of the people of this country. You see, the assumption of leadership is not just about governing those that you lead. It is also responding to the plight of our people.
Sure.
So, and the response to the plight of our people requires greater compact, even amongst parties that are in parliament. There could be issues where, of course, we want to elbow each other, impeachment, motion of no confidence. Those things are provided for by the rules of parliament. But there are basic issues that you have got to discuss in committees, during your portfolio committees. Fishing rights for the people in the Southern Cape who participate in fishing. The changing of BEE quotas to allow for greater participation of the previously disadvantaged. You know, your human settlement policies on how you distribute social housing to the people who need them so much. Policies around your NSFAS, we need to be together. Yes. Because we have got a multi-party parliament. It means that the construct of policies that must ultimately govern the will of the people of this country, their own wishes, is a product of all of these parties combined.
And you speak obviously about this important critical role that you know, every political party needs to play in this country. And this leads me to my next question then, Pule. What's your take on coalition, you know, arrangements? We know that it's something new in the country. What's your observation been as the ANC? Is it working?
Well, I mean, if we were to use Gauteng as an example, they're not working. You know, the situation in Oliver Noordbosch, just here in the west of Pretoria, it's worse. Worse than it was when the ANC was leading the city.
But some of those parties who are currently leading would then say, but this is the kind of mess that we found, thanks to the ANC, that we had to inherit. How do you respond to them?
Well, but the DA has been in leading in Tshwane for far much longer that it can still behave like a crybaby. It's not going to work. It is not really making them. It is not actually that is pushing them away from the people. They've been there for quite a while. You know, you can't blame the ANC for not doing a simple thing like picking up waste from households. Really, how can that be a problem of the ANC? You are presiding in the municipality. It's you who must issue a tender and hire people who must go or get municipal trucks to go and pick up dustbins. Why do you blame the ANC for that? Water runs on the street there. You blame the ANC. To close the pothole, just closing a pothole, how can you blame the ANC for that?
Just
something simple like that. The president was closing a pothole because the road was, the tar was full of dust. Those that tried to make a meal of us said, no, We went to close potholes.
A gravel road.
On a gravel road. How do we do that? It's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Mm.
It was a tarred road, but there was just a lot of, which begins to show you that some of our councillors, and who are not necessarily councillors of the NC, are not paying attention on the issues that affect our people. You know the importance of road infrastructure. Roads connect people,
yeah,
drive economies, you know, create mobility. So even if you have got deposits of minerals on the other side of town, if you do not have roads that connects you to that area where there are deposits, those deposits will just remain like that, deposits.
Absolutely. And I mean, you talking about the issues of road infrastructure, transport. I mean, look at how our railway network, you know, has been looted. Your take on that? I mean, it just happened so quick. I mean, I remember it was just, you know, way into, you know, the lockdown situation that we had experienced thanks to COVID-19.
Well, the program that Minister Fikile Mbalula, in that capacity as Minister of Transport,
yeah,
has mounted, is beginning to show results. They've got a clear corridor development plan. If you now go to Park Station, I mean, I go to the Thule House every day, especially on weekdays to go to work. I've seen now that Park Station is fenced. Just a visible thing that I see. Now when I drive, I see that, okay, on Risik, Park Station is now fenced, which begins to show you that they are beginning to deal with issues of security. I also know that they've got a program even on dealing with how they protect cables from falling prey to cable thefts and all of that. This is encouraging. We saw them opening the line in the Western Cape. You know, they will also be opening more lines here in Gauteng as well. So basically, things are slowly returning back to normality. Even beyond the rain, one is also beginning to experience more hotels coming upstream as well, opening up. I mean, the Melrose Arc Hotel just here in Johannesburg, the Fire and Ice, those hotels were closed. But 3 months back, they began opening. So slowly, things are beginning to ease up, whether it's in the rail space, whether it's in the hospitality space. And we hope that with things easing up, because this easing up is also best expressed in our economic reconstruction and recovery plan, when people start to see this, our hope is that they too will at least, you know, renew or revive that confidence in the African National Congress. I mean, one of the Sunday papers wrote, Not this weekend, that other weekend, that actually signs are showing to the ANC going beyond the 50% mark. Because when people see these machinations presented by these coalitions, they're beginning to get worried that how? Can't these people wanted to be in coalition only to collapse these metros? Look at Egurule. Look at Swan. Look at Joburg. And yet you have got a party like the DA that speaks as if it has been voted by the majority to constitute government, not appreciating that they must extend and... You see, the problem of a coalition, you are not alone. So you are not going to take a manifesto of your party and impose it over other parties in a coalition. It doesn't work like that. In a coalition, you must know that it is going to be manifestos of all those other parties. For instance, if you say I'm an MMC of roads and we're in a coalition government with the ANC, it means the only area where I can implement the ANC manifesto is in my portfolio, where I'm deployed. If the DA has got a different program on what they want to do on roads and they want to impose that program on me, if it is in conflict with the policies of my party, that will make us fight. This is the little area that they did not appreciate. In a coalition, you don't impose your manifesto over other parties. You work as a collective. Now, but because you represent different principles and different value systems, sometimes it's difficult. It's only the ANC that can do it well, because The ANC is already used to bringing in different voices all together. Look at us. We are the leader of the alliance. We bring in workers. We bring in communists. And we are still able to work with them and socialize everyone around the National Democratic Revolution. Because we understand what we need to be doing.
And how confident is the ANC of an outright majority win in 2024?
Well, it's not a question of confidence. Can the ANC work to renew itself and win back the confidence of the people? Indeed, the ANC can. The programs that the ANC has got are sufficient. You see, the ANC as a brand, as an organization, with its own policies, can win a majority. But the ANC needs an activator. This activator is a cadre. And this cadre must be one of stoical discipline, one who's trusted by the people on the ground, one who will place their interest first. That's what the ANC needs. It needs a cadre like Anton Limbede, you know, who led the Youth League post-1944. It was a cadre of stoical discipline. You know, unrelenting, who knew what needed to be done. It needs a cadre like Nelson Mandela. It needs a cadre like Owuor Tambo. It needs a cadre like Peter Mokaba. You know, it needs a cadre like Helen Suzman. It needs a cadre like Ruth First. That's what the ANC needs, like Rita Nzanga, like Winnie Mandela. I can mention many others. That's what it needs a cadre like Jesse Duarte, who will know that regardless of my age, regardless of my years in the movement, I must still place the interests of the people first. You know, it needs a cadre who understand the meaning of the National Democratic Revolution and the meaning of the creation of a national democratic society. Why our people must coexist, black and white. Why we must see ourselves as one South African nation. It needs a cadre who understands that. Once all of our cadres have mastered the art of understanding that, then winning back power becomes easier. Because policies of the ANC are sufficient. We need cadres who know that the budget that the ANC puts forward is not their pocket money, it's the people's budget. It is meant to fulfill the desires of the people, you know, to stay true to the promise we've made to the people. That's what these budgets are all about.
And I suppose also with the nomination now process opening up, the ANC would also be hoping to get the right people, right? Who would put the people first. And, you know, you don't need leaders who are, you know, self-centered or, you know, self-serving.
But remember, Steve, whether you are self-centered, self-serving, greedy and all of that, those things live in you. They are inside you. They live within. They are just next to your heart. It's things we cannot see. When we see you, we see Steve Tau, who's a journalist and all of that. We don't know what crosses through your own line of ambition. You know, it could be something demonic that scares the people here, the citizen. We don't know that. When we sit in a branch of the ANC to determine who must be a leader, we say for as long as they are members of the ANC and have met the prescripts of Rule 2 of the Constitution, therefore they qualify to be leaders. Because the constitution of the ANC on the right and obligation of members allows you to nominate and be nominated. There are 11 sections then speaks to the years that you shall have served, especially if you want to serve in the NEC, the years you shall have served if you want to serve in the PEC, and the years you shall have served if you want to serve in the REC. All those things are prescribed in the constitution of the African National Congress. We are only, you see, like a person who runs the Comrade Marathon, we can only hope for the best. Like a farmer, you know, like a farmer who's trying hard in seasons without rain, who prays hard and say, God, please, we can only hope for the best. We too can only hope for the best. We can only hope that those that will be produced by these processes, regardless of their age, stature, and standing in the movement, will place the interest of the people first. They will go out there to say, we want the ANC to become an even much better instrument instrument in the hands of our people. That's what we hope for. We can only hope for the best.
Yeah. Now, just lastly, I mean, we can spend the whole day talking about the ANC and so on. What's your comment on what has happened yesterday over the weekend, ANC Gauteng? You know, there were some suggestions that it looks like there's a plan to get David Makura, who's the current premier in Gauteng, you know, out of office, you know, before his time and so forth. I'm sure you've read different media reports around that. What's the ANC's official stance on what's currently happening in Gauteng?
The national executive of the ANC does not make official stand over matters of provinces. Provinces are structures of the ANC. The ANC is a unitary organization. We confer on them the power and authority to speak on their own issues. The province of Gauteng did exactly that. You know, in accordance with how we have always done things in the movement. They conducted a press briefing. Mm. They invited Comrade Makura in his capacity as premier of the province, having served previously as chairperson of the province of Gauteng, to also speak on the matter. All of them shared the view, which now clarifies this matter to the media, that there is no one who's elbowing Comrade Makura out of the position of premier. There is a process of handing over the reins to the new leadership of the province. So there's a dynamic way in which the province of Gauteng is managing transition. Lessons that we must all draw from that is that it is being done in a manner and way that does not create disruption, does not undermine service delivery, does not divorce us or de-link us from the people we are expected to lead. This is what we must appreciate. It is being done in a manner and way that conforms with the ANC's way of doing things. And for that, we must commend the leadership. Remember, we don't have a duty as the leaders of the ANC or as members of the ANC to comment over media over what the media has created. You are newsrooms. You are commercial outlets. You make news sometimes out of whispers. So it's not our job to come and tell you which whisper you must make loud and which one you must keep on low volume. It's really your own editorial decisions. But as the ANC, we are happy that the province of Gauteng has taken it up upon themselves to communicate to the public, convey what was the decision of the Provincial Executive Committee. And we must also thank Comrade Makura for the symbolic, exemplary leadership stand that he has taken. It was quite courageous of him to want to work with the leadership of the province to make sure that in handing over the baton of government, it is not done in a manner that it will affect the living conditions of the people of Rivali adversely. It is done in a manner in which the people of Ratanda can still say, we've got a government we can believe in. And that he also took a position and posture himself that he will hold the leadership by hand, especially those that will come to succeed him, and introduce him to the community and network of stakeholders that he had established while in that position. Now, this goes to show that he was not doing all of these things for himself. So this is now an antithesis of what Michel Arong spoke about, our turn to eat. This is a display and a demonstration of selflessness on this part. And because of that kind of a noble gesture, the ANC feel humbled that it would have kept well within its ranks cadres like David Makura. And we wish him well in whatever role that he will play later on when he's no longer premier in the province. But he has shown and displayed greater leadership and has sought to unite our people. This is consistent with what we are doing now under renewal.
Okay. Lastly, anything that you want to add that you feel could be important to our listeners, to South Africans at large?
Well, because it's you who invited me, once I bring my feelings here, I'll be messing it up.
No, feel free.
No, you invited us here, so we came here on your own invitation.
Yeah.
There are things that we want to tell South Africans as the ANC, that we are starting with our nomination processes. I mean, we must call on our own faith-based formations.
Yeah.
You know, faith-based formations, whether they are of Muslim or Christian faith, to stand with structures of the ANC, pray for all of our branches that there is no violence in our BGMs, that they are conducted in environments of peace, that sobriety prevails, that this organization of Nelson Mandela goes to the 55th National Congress much more stronger than before, that we make South Africa one, the Rainbow Nation, which we did in 1994.
Okay. No, thank you so much, Pule, for coming through. Yeah, folks, that was the spokesperson for the African National Congress, Pule Mabe, who came here to speak to us about all matters, the ANC and, you know, the renewal program, you know, challenges that they have come across and so on. But that was Pule Mabe who came to us and to speak to us about the road ahead. And folks, it's been another edition of the Citizen Talk. Until we meet again next time, between now and then, you take good care of yourselves. Cheers.